Warm welcome to you all again this morning. Also with the greetings from the church in New Zealand, I always get assigned to me to pass it on to the congregation here, so I gladly do so this morning. And as we gather here, may we gather in the prayer of David when he says, "Order my steps in thy word, that no iniquity have dominion over me." And may that be our portion today. So we now together come before the Lord and receive his blessing. Our help is in thy name, O Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Thou who keepest truth forever, and who never forsaketh works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our opening psalter is 255. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. And what follows in 255 and stanzas 1 through 4. Let us read together now from God's holy law, Exodus chapter 20, reminding us again of the great privilege we have, that is to be under the law and under the teaching of God's holy and good and great will. And we would be greatly blessed if we would live according to His holy statutes in thankfulness and obedience to Him. Therefore, let's sing 428, the second verse. Oh, let thy spirit be my constant aid, after we have heard again God's unchanging will. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now turn to 1 Chronicles 16. Read a psalm that David wrote for a very special occasion. The dedication of the tabernacle and the ark set into its place in Jerusalem. On that occasion, he wrote this psalm. I'll begin with verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation, and declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So far, this portion of God's Scriptures for our reading this morning. And may he bless these words as we already heard them. Let us now together come in prayer before God. Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. May that be for all of us the theme of our heart. As again, Lord, the excellencies of thy goodness and mercy have enriched our life and granted us another day where we may begin a week in thy presence under thy caring, merciful, loving teaching. And Lord, each one of us have more reasons to thank than what we can recall. Thy mercies, thy goodness, as also David here exhorted us so fittingly to give expression, may we all do that this day. Thou art great. That thou art mindful of us. What an amazing thing, Lord, that thou dost visit us, having come on this earth in person, that thou hast clothed thyself, human nature, walked here, suffered here, died here. And let the glory of that truth also this morning again draw our hearts away from all that is unworthy of our devotion and attention. Lord, thou knowest our fatal tendency that we spend way too much time and attention on the creature and the creatures and our own creations, rather than on thee, the Creator. Our idolatry and our tendency, O God, to wrap our thoughts and devotions around all these things, or even all these people, and ourselves mostly, that is to be given to thee. Come, we pray therefore today, that this hour may be a curing hour, an hour in which again our hearts may sense the power of thy Spirit and of thy Word to draw us away from all the things and to unite our heart to Christ the living Lord and the resurrected Savior. And so, God, we beg thee to take reasons out of thyself, for we have given thee enough reasons to turn thy back on us forever. But will thou mercifully, as thou hast always done, remember thy covenant. For, Lord, thou art always faithful, while we are so unfaithful. We thank thee. Thou hast brought us together in good health. Thou hast spared us in journeys. That thou hast also granted, Lord, prosperous birth to Sheila and Caleb and their twins. Thou hast done marvelously. Lord, if Sheila would have lived 100 years ago, we may have had a funeral this week. So difficult and so special were the circumstances of the twins developing in her womb that we don't enough realize what a wonder it is that she's with us and the children. And let that also for Caleb, Sheila, and for the family and for all of us, be a wonder of thy grace and goodness. Lord, we pray this morning thou would prosper also Isaac, Ben and Elaine, We may thank Thee for the little steps in progress as this young boy continues, Lord, to show the blessings of the healing that Thou art giving and the strengthening of his body to able to eat and also to breathe on his own more and more. Please may it please Thee, Lord, to continue this, that also these parents and their child may come home and may enjoy again the setting of their family and marriage life at home. And so we may thank Thee and pray for the blessings also upon all of our children, so those that are not born yet. O Thou bless the mothers in our midst who are carrying new life in their womb, and bless those children. And Lord, we pray this morning that Thou would open our hearts for Thy word. It's a special day today when again a child in the congregation may receive the sign and the seal that we all carry here, if not most of us carry. That sign and seal of Thy covenant, commitment, and faithfulness. And Lord, wilt Thou make that for us a new and an ever-reminding moment. For what makes us to differ, that Thou hast so lifted us up out of the common lot of mankind, fallen in Adam, and hast separated us into Thy covenant community. Lord, we know there is a great tendency in many circles to overvalue this. But Thou knowest that we undervalue it totally. And therefore may the message this morning that is set before us out of Thy word again alert us to the great calling and the great privilege that Thou hast come so nigh to us, whereas Thou art not doing that to a large majority of our fellow human beings. And therefore, Lord, stir in our heart today life and light, teaching us to think biblically according to what Thou hast revealed and done to us, and to live biblically in a humble adoration, solid trust, and obedient living. That Thou would keep us, Lord, from all that neglect that is so commonly found among us, where we rarely think of that privilege that we are named by the name Jehovah, and that we are not to carry or take this name in vain. Bring it home this morning to our children, to us as parents, to us as adults, as individuals. And let Thy word also bring hope and light and comfort to all those who struggle here with doubts and fears, maybe weighed down under the burdens of sin or the burdens of life. And Lord, let also there too the sacrament have its proper place, as Thou art communicating also by the sign of the water the rich message of the gospel, both in the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God. And as we see this water apply to this child, Lord, let that sign this morning strengthen the faith of those among us who are struggling under the burden and awareness of their sin, and may them be directed again that there is forgiveness, that Thou art a God moved as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to apply thy great work of salvation in the heart of sinners. We pray that thou remember thy persecuted people in countries like North Korea and Somalia and Egypt and many other places. But also, Lord, here in our own country, those who are hated and scorned and shunned and rejected because of their faithfulness to Christ and His Word. And will thou give that we may have many more of those? Would that mean, Lord, that thy people would be far more faithful to live and to speak according to thy word? O thou, strengthen all thy servants whom thou hast sent around this world today, mission work, evangelism, in prisons, along the streets, wherever, Lord, thou hast sent thy church, thy people, even in far away wilderness areas of our world. There Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, and the earth's remotest regions shall thy empire be. O God, we yearn for days in which we may see the church revived and empowered, and the world trembling as they see that God is real, living and empowering His people. So remember all those who cannot gather and worship with us today. Lord, there may be some at home. There is those in the nursing home. There are those that listening elsewhere in the world even. We thank Thee for those means that we can reach even people in other countries as we gather here this morning in preaching and in worshiping. So here is now, we ask all this in the forgiveness and the confession of our sins and ask Thee to forgive us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalter 241. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 241, we'll sing the first five stanzas, and your offerings this day will be directed to the general fund, and the second will be for the building fund this morning. May the Lord bless your gifts and bless us all in giving. had broken all their father's law, that despised their father's love, he had kindly and repeatedly sent them letters which they shredded in disregard and disdain. They ignored all he did for them, how he provided them a home, food and drink, care and protection. And now they're in a hole. Their homestead is burned. Many are dead of the family. The rest are kidnapped, hundreds of miles away from home, living in slavish conditions. And then they prayed. And this is what they prayed. While they're in this hole, having done all this to their father, be not wroth, angry, very sore. O Lord, neither remember what we have done. Behold, see, we beseech thee. Now listen. We are all thy people. And a little before, they say it a little differently as they prayed. As they're in that hole, as they burn everything, as most of them are dead, and what is left is in captivity, Lord, look down from heaven. And behold, doubtless, thou art our Father. Though Abram is ignorant of us, though Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Jehovah, art our Father, our Redeemer. Return, O God, we are thine. Thou never bared rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Amazing, isn't it? Who are these people? Stubborn, foolish, wicked, unthankful, ungrateful. Beasts, I call them. We are thy people. They don't look like it. They have not lived like it. But they are. A congregation, I don't think that we think like this anymore. But this is biblical language. This is how the Jewish people in Babylonian captivity dared to pray. Thou art our Father. Doubtless, Lord, Abram doesn't know anything about it anymore. But thou dost. We are called by thy name. We are thy people. Do you think like that? Do you pray like that? When you have gone in your prodigal ways and you wasted yourself and you're far away from God. Do you pray like that? We are thy people. You see, that's a little presumptuous, isn't it? That's biblical. Of course, we can do that in a presumptuous way. That's what the Pharisees did in Jesus' days. We are thy people. We are the favorites. It doesn't really matter how we live. We live a little bit religious, but we are his people. That Jesus put a stripe to that. in the Jewish days, especially in those days before the Babylonian captivity. They didn't live like that either. They did what they wanted. They had their idols, they had their lifestyles, and then they ignored their father. They're prodigal, all right. Congregation, there's one error in our thinking, it's here. An overreaction, I suppose, against those churches around us which overestimate the covenant, we have gone the opposite direction. And we underestimate it. Totally. If I would ask the children, when's the last time your father talked about baptism to you personally? Probably say, well, that's been a long time ago, Pastor. If I ask you, what's the last time when you thought about your baptism? When's the last time that you approached God on the basis of that covenant relationship He made with you and pleaded in the bottom of the pit, whatever spiritual pit you may be, have you ever said, Thou art our Father, we are Thy people. Be not wroth anymore. Have mercy. You see, children, it makes a big difference when I had a knock on my door. And one of the kids on the other end of town knocks on my door and says, Oh, sir, could you please help me? I have done bad things, and I am so poor and cold. Could you please help me? That's a big difference. If an hour later, I hear another knock on my door, and there stands someone in front of my door who says, Father, I've done bad things. I'm cold and hungry. And there stands my son. Now both will be helped. But you can feel the difference. That's what this morning I'd like to draw your attention to. To this so unbelievable, rich, and necessary thinking. Yeah, the purpose of my sermon this morning on basis of 1 Chronicles 16 is to refresh and renew and to deepen our understanding of God's covenant relationship. Ignorance is the parent of unbelief. It's the parent of apostasy and rebellion, and it's also the parent of presumption. Yeah, and the devil isn't really worried which avenue of error you go and which error of thinking he leads you into. Because they all lead to the same end. But God is indeed speaking to us this morning that we are not to walk in any of the ways of presumption or of underestimating. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 16. The context I have already mentioned is a day of dedication. They have brought the ark to the temple, or the tent rather, that was set up there by David in Mount Moriah. And then David composed this psalm. Psalm is actually a composition of three different psalms David has selected from Psalm 105, 106, and 97. And he has added a few words to it, but that's what this psalm is. He has made that out of the book of Psalms. And notice it's on that day in verse 7. On that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord. It's a song of thanksgiving. It's a psalm in which the Israelites thank God that they are the Israelites. That they have been separated by God. And notice that in verse 22, they have been anointed. Touch not mine anointed. They've been set aside, separated, anointed. And do not my prophets harm. Do not think that's only speaking about ministers. That speaks about all of the Israelites. They were to be God's prophets in that world of evil. And when David is speaking in this psalm, he's speaking about an entire nation. As the seed, if you look in verse 13, the seed of Israel, his servant, and his children Jacob, with whom God has made a covenant. I was thinking of that this morning when I read the law to you again. I am the Lord thy God who's brought you out of the land of Egypt. Says it doesn't apply to me. Okay, let me rephrase it. I am the Lord thy God that kept you out of Egypt. Now it works, doesn't it? That's just as miraculous, isn't it? I am the Lord thy God that kept thee out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Where is the house of bondage? You go around this community, it's bondage everywhere. There's the bondage of idolatry, there's the bondage of slavery, there's the bondage of sports, there's the bondage of materialism. Now that is, of course, in our homes as well. But kids, there will be many kids sitting by the Packers today that have never come in church. There are many kids sitting by the Brewers today that have never come to church. And you say, well, I wish I could go to those things and have to sit in this church the whole morning. And if you think that, then I got a word for you. Those kids are in the house of bondage, in which you've never been brought yet. Now you may choose to go there. You may choose to walk into that direction. But count on it. It's a house of bondage. Idolatry is bondage. There's no freedom in that. We are brought into God's covenant mercies. And I would now draw your attention mostly this morning to verse 15. Be ye mindful of his covenant always. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. That's the word this morning that I desire to briefly think about you. What is it to be mindful? And when am I to be mindful? And why I am to be mindful? And how am I to be mindful? Just some thoughts about this. I am to be mindful. Well, what's that mean, mindful? That's to have your mind full. That's simply what that means. Mindful. That's to remember it. In congregation, there's something curious about this psalm. David has quoted this phrase from Psalm 105, but he has changed it somewhat. I'll read it to you. In Psalm 105, he quotes nearly all of these words, except he doesn't say, be ye mindful always of his covenant. But in Psalm 105, it says, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So that helps me to define what the word mindful means. When I define the word mindful here this morning, I'm going to ask how it means, what it means to God to remember and to be mindful. God is mindful of his covenant. So that's a rich thought. God is mindful of his covenant. He never forgets. Who are his? Notice in our text, be mindful of his covenant, not yours. He started. He made it. And he's mindful of that every day, all night. God never thinks or speaks or deals with Israel as his people. I challenge you to go to this Old Testament and move right into the New Testament. There is one church in the Old and the New. The visible church is exactly the same. Though there's some differences outwardly, ceremonial laws, shrine in Jerusalem, priestly caste, there are differences. When we go to the New Testament, there's none of that anymore. But essentially, it's the same. They're all saved by faith. They're saved by the work of the Spirit. They're saved in the sacrifice, looking to Jesus' sacrifice. There is one church, one body, one visible church. And God looks today on the New Testament visible church exactly the same way. as you look at the Old Testament visible church. You go to Romans 11 and you see the whole thing in front of you. The original olive tree of the Old Testament has not been replaced. It's only been extended. More branches have been added, and one of them is upon you. To that same visible people in the Old Testament. Are you thinking like that? For now, that whole Old Testament in which you find the most personal revelations of God's heart, and particularly in the prophets, of His feelings towards His people, His people. When God sent Amos to preach, He says, of all the nations in the world, you are the only people that I have known. That means in whom I have committed myself. God always speaks that way. When He preaches to the prophet of Hosea, to the 10 tribes of Israel that were the focus of Hosea's ministry, listen to what He says. Oh, Ephraim, I'll give you one example. Hosea 11, I think it was. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am the Lord and I am no man. I made a commitment. And though you broke every part of that commitment, I won't break mine. Today, this Jewish nation are still the beloveds of the Father. Still, and so this thinking, we are to consider, friends, God is mindful. Not because they are so lovely. No. They are the least nation. They're outside of paradise. He didn't choose them and He didn't prefer them because they're better, but He did it because He is sovereign. And it applies to you too. Do not think you're any better than any of these people that are living around us. Don't ever think you are a hair better. And yet, God established His covenant with you and me and our seed. And I may say on biblical grounds today that you are all His people. Oh, I didn't say that you're all saved. Just in the Old Testament, you have a majority of the seed of His people that were not saved. So today, there's many in this church that will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not because you were not among His seed, but because you chose to disobey in unbelief and reject the Word of God. The congregation, what we see in the Old Testament, we see in the New. The Christian church in this nation is the visible church of God. But the majority of that is not saved. And we must always remind ourselves of these two aspects of the people of God. Outwardly, yes, but not inwardly. And now God says to us this morning, be ye mindful always of His covenant, as God is mindful of it. Are you mindful of that? Children, now let me start with your parents and with myself. Are we mindful of that? How does this covenant function in parenting? No, let me step back. Fathers and mothers, how does this function in your own thinking about yourself? Does it actually function? That's what you have to think about. Am I considering who I am, that God has lifted me up and brought himself or myself near to him? O Capernaum, you have been exalted unto heaven. That's me. That's me. I've been exalted unto heaven. So close. Has heaven come to me? Or I've been come to heaven? And the mighty works which were done among you, never been done in the world. My neighbor, next door to me, I have never heard, never seen, what I've heard and seen. And why is that difference there? That's because I am a better man. Oh, forget that. It has nothing to do with you. It's because God established a covenant from generation to generation to generation. 1,000 generations, he says. And he has brought you and me into this covenant. No. Think about this, parents, regarding your seed. Your seed. This morning we may see again one of our seed, of our church, marked with the sign and the seal of this relationship. This child is an heir of the kingdom. Our forefathers have no problem saying that. In the baptism form, we'll read in a moment. That child there is an heir of the kingdom. And therefore, as members of his church, she ought to be baptized. Because she belongs to the covenant church. Just as the Old Testament seed belonged to the visible covenant church, so the New Testament seed belongs to that. And God's promise is to this child, as to all children, I will be your God. And 5 times every Sunday morning, he stoops down to remind us, I am the Lord your God. Don't have other gods. Don't serve other gods but me. Be mindful of this covenant, parents, as we raise up our children. How wrong for me to forget one day or to act 1 hour as if I am not in covenant with my dear wife Michelle. Just imagine that for a moment. That's inexcusable, wasn't it? I'm in covenant with this dear woman. And there's not an hour that I can act as if I'm not. Now, if that's true of a marriage covenant, how much more true of the spiritual covenant? To act as if we are not covenanted and he has not covenanted himself to us. Do not make the dreadful mistake to conclude that you're saved because you belong to this covenant. No, let me repeat the statement again and again this morning. The best position doesn't speak anything about your spiritual condition. That's the mistake the Jews made over and over in the New Testament. As if their position as the Jewish people also immediately meant that they're in the best spiritual condition. No, Jesus says, I can make out of these stones the children of Abram. What does that mean? You're like a stone. But you are in the best position. We sang it this morning with great joy as we approach God in our first song. We are the sheep of his pasture. This is the best pasture. To be under the preaching of the word. To be under the guidance of the scriptures. To have the Spirit strive with us as we are young already. It's the best pasture. And children, there's many children who do not graze in that best pasture. They sit glued to the television. They come with their iPads to school. They go with the iPhone to the bus. And they are not grazing at all on the best pasture. You think they are. They're grazing in the world thinking. They're grazing in the world, in the sports, in the idolatry, in the gaming, in the movies. That's not the best pasture. But God has chosen you, child, and He's placed you in the best pasture. That doesn't make you saved, but that does save you from a lot of bad things. Thank the Lord for that this morning. And be mindful of His covenant that He has made with us and our fathers. I do not make that mistake, as I said. The Old Testament majority died as unbelievers in the wilderness and unbelievers in Canaan, and sadly, again, as unbelievers in the Babylonian captivity. That prayer that I quoted at the beginning of my sermon, it's only a small remnant who prayed that prayer. The majority of the Jews stayed behind in Babylon. When they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, they were quite at home. And so it is here. You may have the covenant sign. You may have the privilege of Him being your covenant Father. And it grieves me to say, but there will also be many in this church, if they would die this moment, that will be outside. Why is that? Because the position doesn't change the condition. There needs to come a personal repenting and a personal believing. And a personal answer out of your heart. And if that's missing, and you will have a worse portion than the gay people of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a solemn thought, congregation. Because we place ourselves miles above those type of people. But God didn't. Now let us conclude. When am I to be mindful of this covenant? The word is always. Always. That means wherever you are, wherever you sit. You know, children, my family, same in your family, right? You switch on that computer. And you go out on YouTube. And you go here and there. Maybe your parents don't watch. But who's watching? The one who is in covenant with you. The Lord God. He's watching. Maybe you go to places where you're playing with your friends. Mom and dad are not to hear that. They don't hear what you say. But as someone who always hears what you say, that is the one who has placed His hand on your forehead, as you'll see this morning with Ruby, and says, "And I am the Lord your God." He hears it. And therefore, David says, "Be mindful always of His covenant." Always. Your mouth, your ears, your eyes, your hands, your feet. Always means everywhere. At home, in church, at school, at work, wherever you are. Always means the time it goes well, time when it is not so easy. And then why are we to be mindful of His covenant? Oh, I said something about it already, but maybe let's focus that one more time. Why? First, to keep you humble. As I walk through this world, children, I thank God nearly daily that He has looked upon me and that He has separated me, that He has drawn me. And the older I get, the more I wonder, why? Why am I not like all the other people out there who are just sitting today, perhaps watching the games, or are doing their jobs, or going shopping, or doing all their stuff they like to do? And guess what? That's the stuff I like to do too. If you look down here, in my old heart. But why am I not running there? Why am I standing here? Now that's a question to me too. Why? And therefore, David, be mindful of his covenant. Parents, children, adults, why are you and I so privileged to be the sheep in his pasture? To be separated, to be protected, to be cared for by God, to grow up under the best circumstances you could ever grow up in. When I went to India once, and I see men in suits bowing down before a statue, laying some incense and some little leaves in front of it before they go to work, so that this God that they're worshipping, which has ears but doesn't see, and has eyes but he doesn't see, and ears who don't hear, and hands that can help, and yet they're putting their trust in that thingy. And I couldn't talk to him because he didn't know my language. But I remember when I saw it, I talked to my God. And I said to him, "Now, Lord, if it wasn't because of thee, I would do the same thing here. That what this man is doing. And just bring somebody to this man who can talk to him in his language. That this is not God." When I open my paper and I see these children who are sacrificing themselves as bombers for ISIS or for the fanatical Islam, my heart cries out, "Why not me, Lord? Why am I not brainwashed like that? To think that if I blow myself up and kill as many people as I could have the best place in paradise. Why did I grow up like that? Why not? I don't know. I only know one thing. I thank God in that moment I didn't." Do you do too? We got 100 times reasons every day when you see things like that to get on your knees and to do what David says. Sing unto him. Talk ye. Speak of him. Let that thanksgiving come out of your heart. And oh, it is so unbelievably unacceptable when it doesn't come out of our heart. When you're so richly privileged. Why are we to be mindful? Not only to keep us humble, to keep us reminded of our obligations. You got a lot of answer for, friends. Your obligation. See, when I walk in the world with this ring in my hand, what does that mean, kids? That means I have an obligation. No matter where I am in the world, no matter what happens to this woman, to love her with all my heart, to be gentle and cherishing and nourishing, and if needs be, to lay down my life for her. That's why I wear that ring. Remind me of that, what she's promised to me, what I've promised to her. That's why God places a token of circumcision in the Jewish boys and a token of baptism in the seed of the New Testament church, because no more blood shedding. And be glad, girls, that you didn't have to be circumcised in the Old Testament time. That still happens, you know. It's the most horrible mutilation of girls. But God says, no, no girls circumcised, just boys. But in the New Testament, all the seed gets the privilege of bearing the sign and a token. And I call that God's ring that I carry here of His promise to be the Lord my God. Now, children, as you grow up, we hope that you're going to give a ring back to God. And what is that ring? When you come to your years of adulthood, that you make a personal covenanting vow, the confession of faith. That has happened a lot here, way too shallow, a custom when we come of age. God's not interested in customs, my friends. He wants the heart confession. And therefore, confession of faith is not just something we do because our parents expect it and our church expect it, and because you do it because you're aged. If you do it for those reasons, please don't. I'll be plain with you today. Because that's just plain mockery and hypocrisy. God wants the heart. And notice as we close the prayer today, in the closing prayer, we pray for that this child and all the children may come to acknowledge. That's the confession. When they may come to the time that they may give a ring of their promise back to God. And then a covenant has two parts. Today it is God's declaration to this child. And someday may it also be answered by you. In the meanwhile, keep yourself mindful of this covenant. Thirdly, why to be mindful? So that we're prayerful about it. The end of this psalm, David has a beautiful petition. Save us, O God of our salvation. Now, why did he ask that? Weren't they his people? No, they were his people. But they need to be saved. They need that saving personal work of the Lord in their hearts still. Otherwise, indeed, it will only be an outward sign, and that is not sufficient. Now, that brings me my last thought, how to be mindful. And then I would just only say this yet. Dwell on the great theme of this psalm. Parents, God says here that we are to talk of Him, speak of His wondrous works. Let's begin with that one today. His wondrous works, that He separated us by the hand of His providential mercies to be brought into His covenant community. And extend that, as David does in this beautiful psalm, about speaking about the Lord God of grace. Let us sing together Psalm 425, verse 4. No, verse 3. No, I am still not right. It is verse 4. Ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended. Think about yourself, my friends. And Jacob's children whom the Lord has chosen. Hearken. Listen to his word. Let's sing verse 4 of 425. A I may now administer the sacrament of the Lord's of the holy baptism. A sacrament reminding us in the first place, and a message in the first place, to the believing seed. Not just the seed, the believing seed. That's to the church. It's a token in which God communicates the promises of the gospel. But in the second place, it's also a message, again, to declare to us the covenantal administration of God's dealings with our seed. And that is why we have the children baptized. Let me read to you from 126 in the back of your Psalter, a short explanation on the sacrament of baptism. And it is well ordered. First, it deals with the message of the gospel, which speaks about the work of the Trinity towards God's elect church. And those elect church get to know themselves as sinners, they're loathing themselves before God. And as they are learning that, then the gospel message begins to speak, and yet they struggle to believe that is true for them. Now, to aid them in that belief, God instituted the sacrament of holy baptism. Indeed, in the New Testament time, mostly administered to the adults. At least as far as you can read that. The household, of course, would have included children. But that was a mission situation, a mission church. But it is the same body, the Old Testament, New Testament, visible church. And therefore the seed included in the Old is included in the New. And the token of the covenant in the Old is the token of the covenant in the New. So that's the two parts of holy baptism as the form briefly explained. Let's read now the form. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin. This is the misery part. And therefore, we are children of wrath, under a curse, insomuch that we cannot enter the kingdom of God except we are born again. Even if you are of that seed of Israel, you still need to be born again. This, the dipping in, or the sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation outside of ourselves. And where? Well, that's where our holy baptism is also directing us. And you notice that that becomes very meaningful if you are looking at this picture of yourself as unclean and impure and sinners. And holy baptism, secondly, witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of sins through Jesus Christ. That's the hope. And that's the only way we can be washed. And Jesus Christ is the revealer of the triune God. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that He does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for His children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of His Son, the Son seals unto us that He does wash us in His blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that He will dwell in us, sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins, the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Now you see this very last phrase, among the assembly of the elect in life eternal, immediately tells you the whole preceding paragraph is not speaking about the child that is baptized this morning. It may, time will tell, whether the Holy Spirit and Father and Son have indeed adopted her in an eternal grace. But this is speaking about what he does for his church. And his church is here directed again by this water in the name of the Father to the hope of the Father and the work of the Son and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Look outside yourself, sinner. Don't look inside yourself. That's where you find impurity and loathsome stuff. But look outside at the gospel of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you may trust in that, and if you may trust in Him, then this baptism is witnesses in sealing unto us the promise of the gospel message. And how rich that is. And in that sense, it's in the exact same way as the Holy Supper. The message at least. Now, thirdly, remind ourselves of the work of gratitude, of course, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts. Therefore, by God, are we, through holy baptism, admonished of and obliged unto a new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength. That we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and a holy life. And if sometimes through weakness we fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. How rich that is, that covenant of grace, His covenant, as we heard in our text this morning. And although our children, our young children, do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, born under that curse as children of Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abram, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of His covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. May I remind you of that very statement, parents? In duty bound to instruct our children therein. Yeah, instruct them in the sense of their misery and how lost they are. And let those sinful things they do be the opportunities to shepherd their hearts right to the very core of their being. Their idolatry, their sinfulness, their brokenness. Let them feel that. But don't stop there. Herein, it says, let them be further instructed herein when they come to the years of discretion. What else? Tell them about that blood of Christ. Tell them about that covenant in God. Tell them about that the Lord indeed made a covenant with them. That He chose you, child, to come near to you and to lay His hand upon your head and to swear a solemn oath, I will be the Lord your God. Explain to your children what it means to have your name of God called over them. That means He took possession of them. That means they belong to Him. And that may give us the comfort to draw near to Him, to seek for that forgiveness and that grace. Now, remember that child at the door, children? Of course, any heathen child may do that too. But when you are of His covenant community, you have a special access. You have a special place. God laments about that in Psalm 81. Oh, that my people would have hearkened unto me. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill thine every need. And parents here, Dan and Vicky, and parents here, you and me, and grandparents here, your task is not over until you're dead, parents and grandparents. And there are a lot of grandchildren that are not in this church anymore, that are out choosing other places of worship, but also other places of the world. Please remind them at appropriate times, even if they don't like it. That's not what you should let be the gates of your choices. What God has spoken. And it is better to lose a little of their favor than that they would lose God's favor forever. Isn't it? Now, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to His glory and to our comfort and to the edification of His church, let us call upon His name. And we're going to pray together that this child and all the children here that are baptized may indeed become God's children in grace in the personal working of the Holy Spirit. So let us now then unite our hearts in prayer and pray this before God. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and who has, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel to the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee that Thou would be pleased of Thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon this child and all our children and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death and be raised with Him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleaving unto Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. And that they may, with a comfortable sense of Thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I ask you both to stand up together. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard this morning again that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that purpose and not out of custom or superstition, and that it may then be manifest that you are disminded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and the New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and the complete doctrine or perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are the parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is hereupon your answer, Father Dan Capsule?
Yes.
And Mother Vicky Capsule? We have said enough this morning, parents, also to you in the sermon already about the importance of this covenanting God, desiring to establish a covenant with us and our seed. And we have heard it a couple of times out of this form. The language is very biblical, very amazing, really. Little Ruby is as an infant to be baptized as an heir of the kingdom of God. Jesus said later that many of the children of the kingdom, the heirs of the kingdom, would be cast out. And he's speaking that to the Jewish people in his days, that the heirs of his kingdom cast out. Let that never be ever your fault. By the neglect of teaching and holding your child back to this moment. I'm convinced I do that too little. Far too little. And let it be for all of us parents here, as well as for you, Dan and Vicky, a good reminder this morning of the holy significance of this so special promise. And may God bless you and bless us all with remembering his covenant. I will leave it with these few words. Let us sing Psalter 425, verse 5, together as we stand up after I have administered the sacrament of holy baptism. And let God's children in our midst also look at this baptism and remember the message when I put this water on the child of this unclean sinner, reminding us of the blood of Christ, able to wash unclean sinners. That is the message as well. Ruby Jan Capsall, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our closing prayer, we may give thanks for God's church, His elect church. And that includes also children. And we again will plead in the closing part of the prayer for this and other children that they may receive that personal grace. Let us now then close in thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee. Thou hast forgiven us and all our children our sins, all our sins, through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son and adopted us to be Thy children, sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee that through the same Son of Thy love, Thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized child and all the baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness. And our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, a man fully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Our closing psalter will then be, once again, 425. Since we have a collection, let's do also verse 3. Let's do 3 and 6. Seek ye Jehovah and His power. Seek ye His presence every hour. So 426, we'll do verse 3 and then verse 6. And I announce it to the congregation that we have our customary singing and discussion tonight, first Sunday of the month, after the service. On Thursday night, we hope to have a special prayer service. Last week, Thursday, was the annual National Prayer Day service, but that was not possible since I was out of the country. So we'll do it on Thursday night, and afterwards we'll have a short annual business meeting. There's not much on the agenda, so that hopefully can be covered in the same evening. On Wednesday night, we have our regular Bible study, not on Tuesday night as I had an earlier bulletin, but Wednesday night this week. We'll continue on our studies from Romans 11. So let us now sing 425, verse 3 and 6.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and let us go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.